Cuddy Powell liked Las Vegas, but he didn't want to admit it. In order to teach his son an important lesson, Cuddy had to pretend that Sin City was, in fact, sinful. He parked his minivan on the top floor of a parking garage on the Strip and stepped out to a marvel of red, white, and blue sparkles exploding in the sky. "Man, it's hot," he said, shaking sweat off the back of his neck. He wore patent leather shoes, a pork pie hat, and a tapioca pinstripe suit that looked like a swirling optical illusion. His 16-year-old son, Alvin, sat in the van and listened to gospel rap that bled through his enormous headphones. Cuddy rapped on the glass with his knuckle, but Alvin focused on the darkened desert horizon. He took his headphones off.
"Why are we here again, Pop?"
"We're here because of you," Cuddy said. "You asked, and now you're going to receive. It's time to find out why your pop is the Lord's best-kept secret.
I got your point yesterday. You love God. Now let's go home."
"It ain't enough to just love God, son. You gotta be willing to go the mission for him. If you want wisdom, you gotta be wisdom. You feel me? You gotta bounce off the walls, zip around the streets for all to hear. He who converts the most gets the biggest commission in the hereafter. And I ain't talking money, no sir. When it's all said and done," he said, sweeping his hand over the neon skyline, "when the world is burning, and you, me, and your mom are sitting on a cumulus somewhere, eating pig ears and sauerkraut in communion with the Lord, it's going to be known that your old pop, Cuthbert E. Powell, completed the mission that won the war. He converted a whole flock of people in one night."
He opened the lift gate of the van and rested out a rusty shopping cart. It clanged against the ground, and he had to hold on with one hand to stop it from rolling away. He reached into the van again and pulled out, one by one, 100 Bibles with golden covers, and he stacked them in tight, perfect rows. When he finished, more fireworks exploded, and he swore he saw the outline of Jesus behind the clouds. Or was it Jesus? Couldn't have been anyone else. He asked for guidance and divine intervention. Cuddy pushed off. Alvin muttered something and trailed behind him. The Strip was a stew of lights, horns, and smoke. People streamed down the sidewalks in huge waves, flowing in and out of the great maws of casinos. With every step, they kicked dusty cards featuring women with twinkles over their nipples. Alvin picked one up, but Cuddy knocked it out of his hand. A woman in jeans and a tank top passed. She had worried eyes. Cuddy saw her and knew she would be a good first.
"Hey, girl."
The woman walked faster.
"I know you hear me."
He waved a Bible after her and shouted,
"Turn around and let Jesus holler at ya."
But she disappeared into a casino, and he knew that she was lost forever. They passed a group of men in basketball jerseys, standing on the corner and drinking from styrofoam cups. When Cuddy tried to hand them Bibles, they moved farther down the street. He handed a Bible to a man covered in tattoos, but the man shrugged and threw it into traffic. It was instantly lost in the sea of bumpers and tires. After 30 minutes of total failure, Alvin rolled his eyes and said,
"See, Pop, we're wasting our time."
Cuddy took off his hat and rubbed his forehead.
"Ain't no time ever wasted working for the Lord."
The truth was that this wasn't Cuddy's idea of a fun Saturday night, either. Alvin had approached him the day before and asked,
"Why don't you ever come to church with me and Mom?"
Cuddy didn't have an answer, but it was unacceptable to let his son think he was a heretic. He didn't dislike church, but it wasn't his favorite place. In fact, he would rather be found anywhere but there on a Sunday morning. He was usually sleeping, watching the game, washing his car, or doing nothing, which he thought was an acceptable activity given that the Lord made Sunday the day of rest.